Start. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this Exeter Town Council planning meeting on Tuesday, the 11th of April, 6:15. First item on the agenda is apologies for absence. We have those from Councillor David Corr, Councillor Frank Cullis, and Councillor Brian Toy. Does anybody else have any others from anybody?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. So now we move on to public speaking. Representations will be taken ahead of each discussion by councillors. We'll move forward the one with public speakers tonight, though. Members of the public wishing to make a representation will have 3 minutes. They need to state their name and interest in the application, whether or not they're supporting or objecting to the application. No worries at all. For the record, Councillor Brian Bailey has just entered. Speakers must state their name and interest in the application, whether they're supporting or objecting to it, and must endeavour to avoid repeating themselves or earlier comments by others. And you will have 3 minutes with a 30-second warning. So the first speaker, Jess first. Okay, Jess Hill, if you'd like to. Thank you. Cheers.
Hi, my name is Jess
Hill.
I'm a Tuesday Council member. I'm here to objecting on behalf of 8 flats from 7 Windsor Terrace. As we choose to go on this application, we are here again to tell you about how passionate we are for the heritage of 7 Windsor Terrace and the area of conservation. Then the previous objection, these terraces noted within the SMB neighborhood planning being an area of special character with an objective to ensure the preservation and or enhancement of conservation areas. As I mentioned before, you won't find any bifolded doors or patio parking on this street or in the neighboring streets, and that's because of the area the conservation area policies. The measurements on the amended plans show that the patio decking is actually going to be bigger than what we previously thought. And we are concerned that this is going to remove an extensive green space, and sadly too much of this protected green space is already in the mall for parking. We believe that this application will also be seen from all angles of the street, meaning it will impact the privacy of flat 3. When a previous application went to change the garden of flat 2 into a car park, it was objected to by the town council and the conservation officer because it is an area of special conservation. The applicants are not requesting access for themselves, but for a friend who does not live at the 7 Louisa Terrace. If we're looking at this in equality and fairness to all, the conversation should not just be about access for one person, but it should really be about access for all who come to the building. And that's why we've been looking at alternative solutions to provide access that would not affect the appearance of the building or the street scene. As I mentioned last time, we're looking at new doors and new entrance way. I recently found this really interesting new innovation called roller ramp. Basically, it's a unique portable ramp system that can be built to any length and rolled up for easy storage, and it's a lot lighter than traditional portable ramps. And when you're looking at what you require, a ratio of 1 to 12, that is the maximum allowed slope for a self-propelled wheelchair, for example, this would be quite suitable. There are also other opportunities to look at how we could redesign the front entrance way to allow for better access and provide a ramp. In conclusion, I'd just like to add as well that the applicants not formally approached the freeholders or by the mentioned company about finding alternative solutions, but we're here. What we really want to say is that we are looking for hope. We are hopeful that we can find positive alternative solutions that don't take away from the conservation area and don't harm the street scene. Thank you very much for listening to me again.
Cheers, thank you very much. I should say as well that this is for planning application 230590, flat 2, 7 Louisa Terrace. Okay, so we now have David Moll who's going to speak. Thank you, David. Similarly, 3 minutes. Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is David Moll. My wife and I own flat 2, and we submitted the planning application to architects. The application is returned to this committee tonight because the planning office asked for revised plans showing the dimensions. I'm hoping to persuade the committee to raise no objection to our plans using the related plans and my statement of support. We purchased the flat 11 months ago as our forever home. We wish to improve the access for us should we become incapacitated to access in our age. We also wish to improve the access for those with limited mobility. The main access to our flat is by two ancient steps, through two double doors with prominent sills into a communal hallway. And to enter our flat, there are further two doors with a 28-inch width. This is the access which would be used by emergency services. The application is made for the provision of an alternative entrance to the flat via the terrace with an access road. We're also trying to say, if we were to break our legs or hips, we currently could not access our flat. We wish to convert a window into a door to give access to the flat from the terrace. Other flats have carried out the same conversion to create a larger door to their balconies. We chose a bifold and single door for maximum flexibility, one door for normal use and two doors for wheelchair access. We chose plain glass because several doors onto the balconies of other flats are also plain glass. Additionally, flat 3 next door has plain glass patio doors onto their terrace. The terrace, we wish to raise the terrace covering by 9 inches to provide level access to the door. The terrace has not been enlarged. The existing concrete paving slabs will be replaced by composite decking for long life and reduced maintenance. The access room. We are governed by building standards which dictate the maximum slope. After considering options within the existing footprint, we concluded it had to be on part of our private garden. The new ramp intrudes into the garden by 1 metre in depth and 27.2 metres in length. It reduces the garden space by 1/9. The ramp has a landing pad at the top and bottom and a level place halfway along to comply with building regulations. We wish to demolish 6 inches of the existing 13-inch high wall, and this will either widen the access to the entry pad. We are not removing any of the original hedge. There is a different standard plant which will need trimming to allow for the ramp.
30 seconds.
In respect to the conservation area, when coming down Louisa Terrace to Carlton Hill, the dog can only be seen when opposite Ashton Court Hotel. The ramp can be seen until past number 7. When coming up Louisa Terrace from Carlton Hill, you can see the ramp and the window when you get opposite 9, but it is never fully in view. That's the reason for we don't wish you not to object to our planning.
Thank you very much. Okay, so these are amended plans for a new door opening and revised terrace, and the plans, as you say, had now got dimensions on.
Can we take declarations of interest?
Oh, yeah,
please?
I have to declare an interest in this particular application, knowing Mr. and Mrs. Knoll, and having worked with Mrs. Knoll on the fair trade steering.
Thank you. And we'll do the rest of the declarations in a minute. On the 27th of March, before the amended plans were submitted, the Town Council objected on the grounds that the proposal was considered to be out of keeping and harmful to the conservation area. Louisa Terrace was noted within the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan as being an area of special character with an objective to ensure the preservation and or enhancement of conservation areas, and it was therefore contrary to policy EB1 of the Neighbourhood Plan. Since the amended plans have been submitted, there have been 10 new representations. Bifolding doors and large terrace and an access ramp will result in a loss of symmetry to the original building. In the conservation area, no other flat has an enlarged window. They have replaced the central window with a door, thus keeping the same configuration. Bifold door will be out of keeping with the style. The hotel next door, and again, this is just a comment. This isn't something that we are able to comment on or verify, but the hotel next door has just been ordered to remove their new decking because it contravenes planning rules. There is a risk of a loss of privacy to flat 3's living space. There's a substantial increase in deck height, which will result in a permanent loss of protected green space. It's a heritage tree, many George's buildings and flat. Again, no bifolding doors on the street or the beacon. This application would start a new precedent. It could see bifolding doors ruin the appearance of buildings on the street. The Exmouth Conservation Area appraisal describes the loss of original windows as loss of character and intrusion for Louisa Terrace. And it describes the need for maintaining good frontages in paragraph 8.1. And again, just a comment that the proposed ramp will project into the garden beyond the area of the terraces adjoining flat, and the building line will be breached. Okay, so first of all, we will go to the Littleham councillors. First of all, Councillor Mike Rosser.
Thank you. My understanding is that this is essentially the same application that we considered before.
Yeah.
And I object for the reasons that we objected before. And because of the reason that I think I went in the, I think it's 11 objections, or 10 objections. The proposal is contrary to policy EB1.
Thank you, Sheriff. First of all, apologies for being late, but put mine in the report. I would, like my colleague, agree that nothing's changed from the last application. I note from the applicant's short speech that he seems to be concerned that if he or his partner were to injure themselves in any severe way, this is one of the reasons given for having a ban. I can't accept that, Chairman, because anyone who would fall down the flight of stairs was at any given time, heaven forbid. So I don't think that is relevant. If it was a situation whereby someone was critically ill, I'm sure it could be looked upon in a different light. But this is building consent, and rules is rules, as they say. And considering the neighbours were asked to remove something a little bit further along the terrace, my view it hasn't changed at all. I'm still against it, Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any further comments at all from anybody? So, am I right in saying we have a proposal and a seconder for maintaining our objection? Yeah. And Councillor Rosser? Yeah, okay. So, we have a proposal and a seconder for maintaining our objection. All those in favour? All those against? Abstentions. Okay. So
it's carried. Thank you.
That is carried. Thank you very much. If people wish to, which certainly they can make. Thank you very much.
Don't just stop recording.
Yeah, we'll just pause for a second, please. Okay. Okay. And just for the record, although it doesn't change materially, the decision that we've just made, it needs to be stated that it was not the previous application that we just discussed was not a listed building. But it was in a conservation area, and all the comments that we made, we all feel are fair and still stand. So, if we now return to the agenda, item two, the minutes of the meeting held on the 27th of March. Does anybody have any comments on those? I can never remember. Do we need to vote on this?
Yes, don't we? Yeah.
Is anybody prepared to propose? Councillor Tim Dunfer and second. Councillor Brian Bailey, thank you very much. All those in favour of noting those minutes, thank you very much. Item three, declarations of pecuniary interest. Does anybody have any declarations of interest? I will state my usual one as Chair of Licensing. And I guess we'll come to it at some point. The item number two of the items for information is an application for time-limited premises license for the Exmouth Festival, which is us. So in that sense, we all have a declaration of interest, which we'll know, and we won't discuss that. It's just because, you know, it's our supply. Okay. So any more declarations? No, that's cool. And if you have any as we go through, please let me know. Item four, urgent business. I'm assuming there's no urgent business.
No.
Okay. So item five, tree and advertising consent applications. First of all, Brixington, 2303999 tree, 5 Hillcrest Gardens to fell a giant redwood. The tree officer's report has been circulated, and the recommendation is for approval subject to suitable replanting at the next available planting opportunity. Councillor Frekegel, comment on this? Cheers.
Yeah, I'd like to propose the acceptance of the tree officer's report.
Thank you. Is anybody prepared to second that or have any further comments? Councillor Terry Nicholas. Oh, sorry. Of course, yeah. Councillor Terry Nicholas, would you like to comment on this?
Not really.
Okay. We have a second. Councillor Andrew Colwyn.
Yeah, I've got the tree officer. Cool. It's sad to see a tree have to go, but that's not the
case.
So,
cheers, thank you. So we have a proposer and seconder for approval. All those in favour? Thank you very much. We now move to Littleham. Planning application 230373, St Joseph's Primary School, to reduce the lateral spread by 1 to 2 metres and remove deadwood from a turkey oak, a beautiful tree. We have many of in my school.
Excuse me, Chairman.
Hello.
I forgot to declare an interest. My youngest grandchild attends the school, and I'm familiar with the headmistress, which people know numerous occasions. But this is something while I was doing the education of the child, so I should declare an interest. And I'm also
thank you, okay, thank you very much, Councillor Bailey. Thank you, then. Okay, so the tree officer's report has been circulated and recommends approval. Councillor David Poore has said that he is happy to go with the tree officer's report. I best ask Councillor Rosser then.
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments? And is anybody willing? Okay, brilliant. So I have proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Familiarity with headmistress notwithstanding, that has been passed. We have, okay, so we'll now move to planning applications. We have none in Brixington.
You're all here.
You put a stop to it, have you? Good work.
Until the sewer is patched.
Good work. Excellent. Okay. End of term feeling. Right, so we now move to Halston. Planning application 230384 full, 6 Crossing Fields Drive, a proposed single storey side and rear extension and roof alterations to accommodate a loft conversion. We have comments from statutory consultees, for which I will now take a deep breath. Councillor Megan Armstrong, the District Councillor for Halston, one of the District Councillors for Halston, says, cannot support this application in its current form and has highlighted a number of inaccuracies in the application form and accompanying plans. The statement that work has not already started is incorrect, as one of the chimneys has already been removed, meaning this is likely to be a retrospective application. The site cannot be seen from a public road. The fact that the site cannot be seen from a public road is incorrect, as the site itself is on a public road. The roofline changes, including the proposed dormer, may not be within permitted development and therefore need approval and possible changes. The chimney, which has been removed, may not be within permitted development and therefore the application may need to be amended again. Clarification is needed regarding the proposed materials and finishes, especially for the weatherboarding on the walls. It seems that this would be used extensively on most of them, which would be at odds with the rest of the street scene. Which Councillor Armstrong could not support, and the colour of the weatherboarding has not been identified, which could again have an impact on the street scene. It's unclear what is meant by UPVC and metal doors. This needs clarification. Will the new roof tiles be the same as existing ones? And there are several proposed new windows, including bifolds on the extension, which need to be checked, i.e. overlooking of neighbours, especially the proposed proposed first floor on the south elevation and the dormer, which Councillor Armstrong suggests should be obscure glazed and reduced in size to fit better with the street scene. She asks, what type of windows are on the first floor, east and west elevations? Are they skylights, or if not, what type are they? So once again, this two-bedroom bungalow within a row of other bungalows being enlarged to a four-bedroom dwelling. She generally disagrees with this, but will await the officer's report, which will hopefully address the queries before deciding whether or not to support the application. Okay, and this pertains to EB2 in the neighbourhood plan. New development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design, as exemplified by the Avenue's design statement of 2005. Okay, Councillor Nelson.
Basically, Council Dwayne, I have looked at this application, and Council Dwayne has, I believe, sent his comments to Ron, I think, not realising she was on annual leave. I agree with his commitment with regard to the cabin, which would be active with some of the bungalows within Crossingfield Drive. Crossingfield Drive is a public road, it is a cul-de-sac, it is a small close, and the next door property. Already been extended to its new loft conversion. It's already got a loft conversion which has got relax rather than a dormer. There are another, I think it's four or five bungalows in the row that have been changed into to have a dormer and to have their loft conversions. So I think Councillor Toy and I both felt that considering there was quite a number of similar changes within the road, I don't see that we can actually object. Having the loft conversion and the dormer. With regard to the materials, I do agree with the cladding because there, as far as I can tell, there wasn't any properties within the road with cladding. However, there is a complete diverse nature of windows and doors and extensions, PVC, some are wood, some are glazed, some have got this what I call small glazed. So there's a huge variety in the road. I think Councillor Toy and I both felt that we had a struggle to be able to hold to say that it would be adequate for the street scene except for the cladding. So, in principle, I don't think I've got any objection, but I would like to make a comment with regard to the cladding, which I do think is out of keeping with the majority of the road. But there has been some major extensions in Crossing Bridge Drive, you know, really quite large extensions.
Yes, I'm quite happy to second Councillor Nelson's proposal. I just say we haven't, in the first couple of years of this term, Councillor Megan Armstrong was here on a regular basis in this committee, and we haven't heard very much from her for the last year or so. So I take this to be, congratulations to Megan on her term, but it sounds like her swan song.
Thank you, Councillor Lumper. There's something to do with roll of light last time, I think, wasn't it? Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Jack. I just want to say, in this case, for Crossingfield Drive, I agree with the previous speakers. The precedent is well and truly set, so I can't see how we can object, to be honest with you, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else at all? So we do have a proposal and a second for approval with the comments regarding materials used and possibly about not just the cladding but tiles and things.
Well, it's the tiles, certainly there's a variety of those. It's
okay,
over,
fair enough.
It's not over.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
To where myself
mind that Councillor Armstrong did make a point she wasn't against it or
yeah.
for it, and she would wait to see what else came forward.
I don't believe they have started work, actually, as far as I'm aware.
Absolutely. Okay, that makes sense. So the proposal and the second of for approval. All those in favour? Okay, that's carried. And we now... Oh.
No, I have a permanent comment on the next application.
You certainly may, sir.
I received a telephone call from an estate agent about this application. From a local estate.
Okay, I haven't heard anything.
Oh. Funny that.
When did you receive a phone call?
Well, a couple of weeks ago. I thought, I didn't follow it up because I assumed they
No, I haven't heard anything.
And it's something to do with that they were, the planning application was being held up because someone objected to a tree in the garden. And the state said there wasn't a tree in the garden. And they were waiting to explain.
Absolutely. Just if you remember which estate agent that was, it might be good if we can.
It was Kent.
Okay, we can make a note of that potentially, because I think it's just to cover ourselves. Thank you so much for saying that, Fred. Because you know we need to be, as you say, it's not our job to deal with that kind of thing, and it opens us up to all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things that we know we should be getting involved with. So
we're consultees.
Hmm. And that's it.
Overall decisions made by the government.
Yeah.
Regardless of inquiry, please speak with the town.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Cheers, Fred.
Can I just ask if councillors have noted on the planning portal that there was a supplementary planning information statement that's been supplied since we discussed the application relating to our comments about trees and ecology report? And East Devon District Council appear to have told the applicant that an ecology report is not needed, it's not requested. And the East Devon District Council tree officer has not commented or requested a tree report. And the applicant has said in the supplementary information that there are no trees. No noteworthy trees on the site, and that the laurel and rhododendron that are present do not merit a tree report. Planning case officer has agreed with this assessment in subsequent planning correspondence, and the tree officer has not commented or requested a tree report during the consultation period.
Okay, thank you very much. So, this is planning application 22.2774 full, land to the rear of Hillbrae, Foxholes Hill. For a proposed new dwelling house with garage. The amended plans have a reduction in the width of the dwelling, omission of an external staircase and attached garage in place of an attached garage. The Town Council objected on the 16th of January, saying that there are hedges and trees on site contrary to the information declared on the application form, though we've subsequently heard the response to that. The application does not include a site plan assessment of the impact on the landscape and ecology. The Councillor Nick Hookway from East Devon objects as there's no ecology report or a tree report form on the from the tree officer, although as we've just heard. Councillor David Paul says that the amended plans do not answer our previous objection about trees. I'm happy to continue with their objection for the same reasons as last time, though I wonder if
I don't think he's seen those. Hasn't seen
it's
the supplementary
hidden
report.
In the middle of the list of documents. Mm. I haven't seen it. So This pertains to Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EM1. Proposals for development in the built-up area boundary will generally be supported. Proposals for the development in areas outside the built-up area boundary will only be permitted when they are in accordance with specific policy within the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan or were absent policy or site-specific allocations contained in the East Devon Local Plan 2013-31. Are there any exceptions which apply to this? I need not continue then. EB2, as we have previously stated. So we are in Littleham, Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. May I ask the party if there's a location plan that's possible over there, please?
So this is Foxholes Hill. So it's here. These two.
Well, I'm not sure the bit of it, but I can't see that if we were taking it, if each deal were taken to appeal, I think we'd probably lose on that. Because the president's been sent yet again on that. Every other garden seems to have a house.
Okay, Councillor Mike Rosser.
I'm wondering what a noticeable tree is and one that isn't noticeable. I suggest that they're all noticeable, really. Councillor Nick Hookley, on the 25th of January, raised an objection because of the absence of an ecology report or tree report. Whilst I respect the planning officer's opinion, I have a different opinion. I'm not saying considering the emerging local plan, if that's allowed to use that phrase, requiring 20% upgrade in biodiversity on homes, can't see why we shouldn't object, because there's clearly going to be a lot of destruction of shrubs and trees to create this.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Rosser. Can I just ask, so given that this, the supplementary planning information sheet, that is from the applicant or the applicant's architects. Given that it's on the planning portal,
yeah.
I mean, the suggestion that the case officer now agrees with them, we've no reason to question that, have we?
No, I mean, there's no copies of associated correspondence on there, but... No.
Given it's been put on the planning portal, you would imagine that if that wasn't the case, they wouldn't have done that. Okay. Does anybody have any comments? Councillor Cahill.
Yeah, thank you. Well, firstly, I'm holding the kids' requirements, and the kids wouldn't catch up. Clearly, there's some green vegetation in that space. Now, based on the report that we sent to it talked about rhododendrons. Now, I don't know where trees are rhododendrons. I haven't actually been down to the site, it's not in my ward. But I'm kind of agreeing with Councillor Bailey and support the fact that we can difficult to object because there's so many buildings in Foxhold Hill of different sizes, shapes, and you know, it's a whole mishmash of layers and levels. So, take on board what Councillor Ross said about three stories, but I don't feel that enough information to object to it because, based on what I just said, so many different layers. So many different heights, I think we would find it difficult to object to. So I should have support, Councillor. Thank you very
much. Yeah, Councillor Ross. I'm not
opposing the idea of putting a building there. It's just the fact that they're destroying all that vegetation. They're not even acknowledging that vegetation if you look at the site plan. And you could put a building there and also put in a planting plan which would compensate for the destruction of that vegetation. That's basically what I would like to see.
Previous conversations about trees. Well, when is a tree not a tree? And you know, if it's a rhododendron, it's a bush.
I'm not qualified to comment, but no. I would suggest so.
We can only go by the planning officer's comment, and that's what Lisa mentioned at the end of that report.
Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you have any further comments at all? We do have a proposer and a seconder for approval. I think it's if we do that, we can still note that we would you be fair to would you be prepared to comment as well that we do feel that some more sort of what am I trying to say? We'll get there. More investigation into the ecology.
I see where you're coming from. So what you're looking for is a planting plan.
Potentially.
That would compensate for the destruction of whatever's there, whether it's a tree, a bush, or whatever it is. It's easily undecided. So you could apply for a planting plan, which I have no objection to.
Okay.
I'm in favour of trees, but when it's not a tree or a bush, I don't know where we want to go. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Rosser.
I've no idea if it's trees, shrubs, or whatever, but there's vegetation there and it's substantial. It's like a habitat for birds and possibly wildlife. And I think the ecology report would be very helpful to understand exactly what the impact of this development would be on the ecology of the site. And
the district council have said that he doesn't need to do an ecology report,
right.
So
okay,
that will not be forthcoming. But I don't know, but yeah, they've said that there's no need to provide one, so it's not within our power to insist on an ecology report or a planting plan if the district council said that it's not necessary.
So actually my question was irrelevant anyway. So all of that work to get to the point where I could actually say what I was trying to say wasn't relevant anyway. So we do have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? All those against? That's everybody, I think. Okay, so that's carried. Thank you. We now move to... Oh, is this in Ledlam? Okay, 72 Bickton Street. It's a planning application 230429 LB. That's the building centre. 72 Bickton Street, as I say, replace number one rear window on the rear southeast elevation at first floor and to reslate the whole roof. Councillor David Poore has no objection. And Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2 applies, especially as this is a conservation area. Councillor Mike Rosser. Thank you. Councillor Bondi.
Likewise, Chair.
Okay, so we have proposed for approval.
This is
have been consulted, but they haven't commented. No.
So you're happy to propose a second subject to that?
Yeah.
Okay. So all those in favour? Thank you very much. It's carried.
Yeah.
Cool. We've done that one. So now we move to the last one. Planning application 23-0686 full, flat 28, the Strand, to install an external staircase to give access to the flat above. I'm assuming that the date limit for comments is incorrect.
Good point. I don't know, but anyway, I'll check that out.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We've not seen it before, so
no.
So there are no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. It is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy 2, EB2, and it is again a conservation area. Councillor Tim Dumper.
Thank you, Joe. I think if I were of a mind to pick apart the planning application, I probably could. There were one or two statements in there that I thought would be dubious. But having said that, the principle and the actuality of putting the staircase in externally, I don't think it's a problem around the rear, and there's lots of others of them around the Strand. So I propose no objection.
Yeah, I entirely agree. And I'm happy to second that. And I would hope that the District Council will pick up on those things that you've noted. So we have a proposer and a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Thank you very much. So now we move to Willicombe Riley, planning application 230592 full, 113 Willicombe Village Road. The proposal was for a proposed conversion of the existing double garage and accommodation above to form a separate dwelling. We have comments from Councillor Frank Cullis. The application for the conversion to the garage at 130 Willicombe Village Road into a separate dwelling seems to be very similar to the application that was given approval on the 13th of July 2016. The application states the only difference in the name of the applicant. Well, that was given approval, the previous application was given approval, it didn't get built, so the new owner has resubmitted this, has submitted a new application. And given that the previous application was approved and that this development will provide a smaller two-bedroom, more affordable property, which is much needed in Exmouth, Councillor Frank Cullis would recommend, he would propose support if he was present at the meeting to do so. Does anybody else have any comments? Councillor Brian Bailey.
I second that proposal, Chair. Recommend approval and then a few months later change your mind. So we have to be consistent, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor, any comments?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, that's cool. Any other comments at all? No. So we have a proposer and a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Thank you very much. And the final application is 230699 full, 6 Chudley Close. The proposed extension of an existing garage and alterations of the roof to provide usable space for a games/hobby room. Southwest Water have suggested, advised that they should be contacted if the applicant is unable to comply with the requirements for asset protection. Councillor Frank Cullis says that the application is to replace the detached garage and covered area with a single-storey games/hobby room. He can't see any reason to object to this application, so he suggests that the committee support it. Its close proximity to Withycombe Brook is a concern during the construction phase, and would hope that the owner and builder are mindful of this and wonders if the Environment Agency or whoever would be responsible to ensure the stability of the bank should be notified or included as a consultee in the application, would that be South West Water? In terms of, it's not, is it? Because then we'll,
it's probably the Environment Agency, yeah. I would think.
So we, you know, depending on what decision we make, we could certainly add that as a comment. Certainly, Councillor Fred Cahill.
Hey, Jack, can you just explain what you said about?
So Frank Cullis has commented that the site is very close to the brook.
No, not the brook.
Yeah, because Frank has said that he...
No, it wasn't that.
So just South West Water's comment. It was they advised the applicant to contact them if they're unable to comply with the requirements for asset protection. So I think is that not their usual thing about...
It's standing advice that if you are... developing over a sewer, etc., you have to get permission from South West Water.
Are they developing over a sewer?
I don't know, but they would have to comply with the requirements for asset protection, and that's what South West Water, yeah, they say.
I'm getting that. The garage is already there. They're already protecting the asset.
Yeah. It's standing advice. It's probably quite misleading because it might not be applicable.
No, I understood that we have a bit of that work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's standing advice. We've seen it quite a lot recently on applications, but it's just around the protection of the sewers. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Do we have any further comments or anybody wishing to commit one way or the other? Councillor Binder.
I think it's worth mentioning in that context of the brook and Chadley Close, about the issues that came up during the flooding and land drainage working party, about the pathway along there, which is obviously a concern, particularly given that the brook in that area, the banks have collapsed a couple of times, and we don't want to do anything that would hasten any further activity, particularly in this sort of weather.
Okay, so it seems to be that in the room there is a sense that we're okay with the application, but we need to be mindful of the brook and would request that the Environment Agency perhaps are consulted and that everybody involved is made well aware of this to mitigate against any further damage. That being the case, and in the absence of anybody else doing it, I'm happy to propose approval from the chair with those caveats.
Yeah, okay.
Councillor Tindumper?
I will second that.
Okay, thank you very much. So we do have proposal and a second for approval, subject to those conditions, or with those notes. All those in favour? Well, thank you very much, everybody, for that. So we now move to items of information. We have a... of the tree preservation order for land at 252 Exeter Road, which is attached to the agenda as sent out. The second item of additional information is, as I discussed earlier, Exmouth Town Council's application for premises licenses for the festival, which we probably shouldn't discuss. And the third one is the new time-limited premises license received for the Orkin Point pop-up bar. Now, we discussed this at some length, I believe, when I wasn't here. I believe this is just a change of date, but I'm happy to have a discussion about it anyway. Councillor Nelson.
Just remind us what the event was that was going to be held, because I've actually had quite a few representations about this, because it's June and it was April, and June is obviously more likely to have people around and may affect other traders. So I couldn't recall what the actual...
It's just for a two-day. It's a two-day trial for a pop-up bar at the end of Orkin Point.
I have to say, I've had quite a few representations. using that area, and it would affect other traders.
Yeah, so we objected at the last, I'm trying to find the actual, here we go. Time limited premises application, identical to that previously circulated. This was for the original one then. It's the same, just different dates. Authorised the sale of alcohol from a trailer bar positioned on the paved area at Orcombe Point, Exmouth. And we objected on all four licensing grounds. And I can pull that up for you. It's this one.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. So we objected...
if we just say this,
just find it. So here we go. So Deborah Queen Quine, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, spoke against the application. Members concurred with her objection under all four licensing objectives. Well documented evidence of antisocial behaviour at Orcombe Point, which resulted in the PSPO being extended to include the seafront. Exmouth Town Council, at the request of the police, and Devon County Councillor Christine Channon had also deployed a mobile CCTV unit to monitor the area post-COVID. So right. We'd objected on all four grounds.
Okay, so we go to Fred Cagle and Ryan. Fred. Old Lynn.
Yes. I'm green. Yeah. Thank you. I've been looking at applications before. I don't necessarily agree with it, but apparently the police and the licensing, according to the applicant, have no objection.
It's not something that I've come across.
No, that's why he said to me in person.
At all.
He said to me in person. So I'll make that quite clear. He did say that to me in person. That area of the esplanade was redesigned some time back by Devon County Council and restructured to be a pedestrian piazza. And they put some seats in. And enjoy, and I brought up with Councillor Channon about getting some sort of bollard system in chains, etc., to stop vehicles being parked on that pedestrian piazza. Because the number of times I've seen cars parked down there, cars, children, adults, wheelchairs, dogs, etc., do not mix. But it seems that people can get away with parking. Payment and motorcycles, etc., and no one does anything about it. The fact that an applicant wants to sell alcohol from a pop-up bar at that tip end of the beach, as I said before, we've got lots of outlets on the seafront that sell alcohol. We've even got a shop where we take away alcohol. So if they want to go and have a drink on the beach, that's down to them. If they then else around them, that's down to the police to follow up with the PSPO, because the PSPO is there in case people break the rules or upset people or whatever. So I'm against the fact that this is being allowed just to sort of try it out in that particular area. Now, if that application try it out in a different area, it might be a different ballgame. But in that particular area, I think it should remain exactly as it is, as a pedestrian piazza, for the benefit and enjoyment of all the populace, whether they're visitors or locals, to enjoy. The applicant up on the top end does not sell alcohol, I understand. So
And actually, in terms of the licensing, I mean, this particular licensing application, did I see that that it doesn't close until the 20th of April? So, in this, you know, you may find when that actually concludes that the fact it's in June, as Councillor Elson said, may have an impact on that. I mean, we did object to it last time, and actually, bearing in mind Councillor Elson's comments, I can't see actually why, you know, what materially is any different. There's nothing materially different with it this time, so I don't see actually if we need to have a sort of debate about changing this. I don't think we're going to turn around and say we're in favour of it now. But anyway, Councillor Bailey.
Thank you very much, Jen. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. Nothing has changed since last time. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I tend to go with the views of Councillor Brocade. This is a family beach. That is the safest end of XMC Front. Not suggesting any of XMC Front is unsafe, but there's less tidal race there, there's less depth of water than anywhere else along the beach. So it's a lot safer for very young children to go and play and paddle in the water. And for that reason alone, which I think is more than enough, that I wouldn't like to mix young children with alcohol, because I can't see. This is effectively an outflow. So where's the protection from young children at home? There's nothing to stop an 18-year-old to go up in there, buy several pints of beer or spirits or whatever, and take it back to his friends who are all underage. There's no way you can monitor that. You know, if you're in a pub, you can monitor that because they're in the premises. But off-license, it's just a recipe for disaster. I know Ollie runs a very good house in his pub, and on his application here in the Strand, there's been no problems. But that is way out of his domain, and it's not the place for it. And I can see when it's busy in the summer, there's a very long queue to go to Bumble and see, and there'll be an equally long queue to go there if it's permitted to go there on a permanent basis. And I can see all sorts of friction coming as to which queue you're in and why should you be in. And also, whether you like the term Hell's Angels or motorbike gangs or whatever, there's a meeting place there every sunny day at the weekend for 50 plus motorcycles throughout the day, which park in this particular area. And they get moved on by the police, but the police don't stay, and within 10 minutes they're back again. And they are customers of Bumble and Bee on a regular basis. So there's tension potential. That's what I'm saying. So I think it'd be best to avoid the potential tension by not having it. Yeah?
Yeah.
If you're going to have a beach bar, go to a proper premises, run a beach bar so you can control what goes in the beach bar and around the premises. This way, I can't see how they have any control whatsoever. So therefore, it's breaking the law in the application because they're not complying with the four rules. Therefore, they shouldn't get a license. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The issue of off licences and alcohol licences and the way that the police submit their evidence for these is something of a bit of a hot topic at the minute with regards to a couple of other applications we've had in the town. And I think in terms of what we actually want to see happen with this, we need to hope that the police take the same view as us. If they come to an agreed position, it may be that this is out of the realms of licensing, but I hope not. If we go to Councillor Dumper and then Councillor Rossett and then Councillor Elson.
Yeah, one point that doesn't seem to have changed since we last discussed this is that we haven't heard anything here from the highways. We expressed some quite strong views last time that highways should be involved and should comment. Because, as has been explained, the Piazza and all the rest of it, they should involve themselves in this discussion. The second thing is that we discussed and we have mentioned tonight, although I think Lynn has sort of edged on talking about it, was the social media
presence on this, and the idea that these dates somehow are linked to some event or whatever. But none of that appeared in the actual application. So it would be useful to know if that's gone any further.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim. Councillor Rosser, and then Councillor Olsen, and then Councillor Nicholas.
I was Mike. If could be clarified if there is a for the beach.
There is
one. So then basically that's another saying people are drinking too much.
So the PSPO basically gives the power to the police to remove people from the area if they are engaging in antisocial behaviour associated with the consumption of alcohol. What we found in the Strand is that, you know, if they're just drunk and they're not bothering anybody, actually it hasn't got that much teeth. The police struggle to use the public space protection order in the Strand to move people on. But it was introduced with the intention of providing extra provision. And then post-COVID, when we had all those beach parties, the police actually applied for a dispersal order. That's expired now, but that did give them the extra powers that they needed to move people on when there was antisocial behaviour associated with alcohol consumption. And we discussed last time that, I mean, the town council's direct involvement in this was that we were asked to install a CCTV camera at the top of the zigzag path because of issues with urination and things. And that's part of the reason why the PSPO was introduced as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, just to say, I was reading that one in Tavistock, maybe in Tavistock.
It's supposed to give the police the power to move people on if they're engaging in antisocial behaviour, but it's quite subjective.
I think, my reading was slightly different, but also some of the enforcement officers can come in some circumstances issue its penalties.
Yeah, if you've got civil enforcement officers, and that's another discussion that we've had, because we don't have civil enforcement officers in Exmouth. And post-COVID, again, the District Council applied for some temporary funding that allowed them to have the beach wardens, but we don't have civil enforcement officers employed for that purpose in Exmouth. I guess if they had the budget, they could, but they don't, so...
We'll go to Councillor Allison and I'll just have and Terry as well.
No, actually, Councillor Duncan has already mentioned this. What was raised with me was the social media and the fact that it has been suggested on social media as well. I'm aware, I don't know personally, but that they are going to have events at lunchtime and that they've just got to log in and they'll tell them what time it is and people can just go. And that's my concern. It's a bit like a flash. The issue is that the District Council were quite clear in that they would not give landowners permission on District Council land. So he's approached the County Council because it's highways and it's not District Council. I still don't think he
there was going to be no further development on the beach side, and every application was involved with the beach.
I do think so. He will probably still need a street trading licence as well.
Mm.
I think, which will be another hurdle for him to get over. We'll go to Fred and we'll go to Brian. Which, I mean, I think just bear in mind while we're discussing this now is that we all object to it. So it's an interesting discussion, but we do all object to it. Fred.
Yeah, we did. You're right, it is an interesting discussion. And I'd just like to bring up, excuse me, pre-1972, when Exeter District Council owned the beach, they had beach inspectors, and it wasn't just one, it was several, that patrolled the beach and put measures in place should there be any problems. I mean, we didn't, you know, as I remember, have too many problems back in those days. But can we not impress upon the new Eastern District Council, whoever it may be, after May the 4th, to look into this whole issue around holiday times? We are getting busy and busy. There's no getting away from it. You know, all you do is look at the roads on a Saturday and Sunday coming into Exmouth. They're nose to tail, all the way up to Sandgate. And I travel that road, as you know, quite frequently, going up to the home. And I'm just acutely aware of how much traffic is coming into Exmouth. All it takes is a bit of sunshine and they're in there. So can we not impress, I mean, can we from this sort of committee impress upon the district council that we would like to see some more, and also the police? You know, it's no good that the police are now, well, we have rent and transit, well, you know, have some more resources. They keep saying that they've got 220 more police officers. Let's get them down next. Oh, that's my cat.
So I've just put up on the screen what we drafted as a comment, which we never submitted, but this is what we were proposing to resubmit. So Exmouth Town Council objects to the above application under the licensing objectives outlined below. Prevention of crime and disorder, well-documented evidence of antisocial behaviour at Orcombe Point, which has resulted in the PSPO being extended to include the seafront. Exmouth Town Council also, at the request of the police and Devon County Councillor Christine Channon, deployed a mobile CCTV unit to monitor the area post-COVID. Public safety, concern was raised regarding public safety with alcohol being consumed in a beach environment and the water safety implications. Prevention of public nuisance, the area already had a history of problems concerning public urination and defecation. The consumption of alcohol could give rise to antisocial behaviour in what is supposed to be a family-friendly area. And protection of children from harm. Concern was raised about the monitoring of alcohol purchased on behalf of a minor from a location by the sea without a fixed premises. So that was what we had put together following the debate at the last meeting when it was discussed. If you're happy, then we will submit those comments.
Can we not submit anything else?
Yeah, if you want to. I'm just
thinking, you know, that.
I mean, I think certainly we, you know...
You have to comment on the four licensing objectives. Yeah. So we've tried to capture what the comments were based on the four licensing objectives, as you discussed. Yeah. Well, if you don't comment on a licensing objective, East Devon will pick
up. Pedestrian piazza, you know, you can go on public safety, let's get some officers down there, let's get some police down there, and try and get it policed properly. So that should there be any issues, if not.
Yeah, we can't. They're not licensing objectives, so East Devon won't accept those comments from us, unfortunately.
Maybe we can do it from town council to the new district council. Yeah. We have the new town council.
Okay.
New.
Okay. Bearing that in mind, Mike.
Yeah, sorry, just reading about space protection orders. 9,930 penalty notices were issued in 2018. How many were issued in Exeter?
Who knows? Who knows? Okay, very well. Yeah. Can we, Brian, can we make this really, really quick? Because we've agreed. Thank you.
I agree entirely with what Anne Park has just kindly put up for us to remind us of what was considered in our last deliberations on this. I agree entirely with it, and I think we ought to make more of the public disturbance. If it was a serious public disturbance, which involved several dozen police force members coming here
several of which got severely assaulted, and two or three got put in hospital. So let's not say it's just a bit of an upset. It was not an upset. It was very close to a riot. And it was so serious, it was taken seriously by Alison Hernandez, who put in, I believe, about £30,000 extra to police the seafront during the summer. Now, it's not for us to provide police protection for the general public, because one particular person wants to try his arm at making money on the seafront. And that seems to have been forgotten.
I
was a member of the general public looking at and finding that no effects to the council payable, that if we, the council, put in patrols and pay for them, no way. Because if he wants to go ahead, let the applicant pay for the patrols, not the general citizens.
Absolutely.
And that should be made quite clear adding to that submission, if you'd be kind enough, please.
If members are in agreement with that, but I mean it's not a licensing objective,
it is an objection.
Yeah, but we can't, with East Devon District Council licensing, we can only comment on the four licensing objectives.
However, there is an area within those for common sense. And the history of the situation.
Yeah, but they won't accept those comments, Brian.
Sorry to interrupt, Brian. I think if it came to them applying for a street trading licence, then they would be relevant comments.
Yeah.
And I think I completely understand what you're saying. I don't think there's anybody in here that disagrees with you. I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to this, and whether or not this gets its licence, unfortunately, even the licensing committee, if it goes to a subcommittee, which obviously I won't be able to be part of because I now chair this, but if it goes to a subcommittee, it will entirely depend on what the police decide. So actually the police, I think, you know, I'm happy for this to go on the record, that the police need to be honest if they can't police something. And they need to say that. And they need to say, if something such as this is happening and there is a significant threat to all of the things that you see in the licensing objectives, that they need to say it. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I hope they're sensible on this. So are we happy for those? Sorry, Lynn.
No, I think it'd be interesting being that they've now stepped up doing all these that they did on Dartmoor and everywhere else over the weekend when the police actually went and stopped them before they started.
It's so frustrating because, you know, when we had the application for the late alcohol sales at Moore's newsagent, or whatever it's called now, it was basically they have to go on the licence, and then when something goes wrong, you have to withdraw it. Well, one, it's incredibly difficult to get, you know, to take the licence off somebody because the burden of proof is on you. Secondly, if they come to an agreed position with the applicant, where they say, yeah, you can do this, it's so frustrating. So, I hope that they know the comments that we've made tonight. Anyway, if we now move on to...
Sorry about this, Chair. I just wanted to make one brief comment. Could we amend where it says post-COVID to post-COVID restrictions? Because everybody who looks at the COVID figures knows that they're even now pretty high. I think what we're talking about is the lockdowns and the restrictions which were applied during that period.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Cool. Right then, if we move to item number 8, planning decisions. It appears that we got everything right. Full marks, everybody. Put that on record. Full marks, everybody. Nobody. There are no differences between East Devon and ourselves with regards to item number 8 planning decisions. Right. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.